إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد, first of all, جزاك الله خير for inviting me. The first time I've ever come to Cambridge, I think ever, not just to a university, but the first time I've ever come to Cambridge. I think once, very long time ago, I just passed through. But so it's an honor and privilege, and I'm sure you're all busy and you have exams, and also I'm on my way to somewhere and I need to be going somewhere. So it's going to be very short and brief, and I'm not going to take too much of your time. And just half an hour, 45 minutes, we can have a few question answers, and then inshallah you can carry on doing what you need to do. The topic today, trials and tribulations, and it's all in the context of what we have exams, well, you have exams. So what I was just thinking, what should I talk about? And what came to mind was, I just picked up this book when I left. This is a hadith book of the sayings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, where I just picked up a chapter, and in there there's a hadith regarding a situation where a human being has needs, goes through tests and tribulations, and where he faces problems and difficulties, and it's a testing time. What should a Muslim do? What are the obligations and responsibilities and duties of a believer, a Muslim? So I will read this text of hadith and just explain this briefly, inshallah. And I think hopefully it will be beneficial for me as well as all of you. But before I do that, just as a reminder, we should remember as Muslims, what Islam teaches us is that every single human being, male or female, goes through trials and tests and tribulations in this world. This world has been created like that. You see, we have three worlds. We have Alamul Jannah, and we have Jahannam, and we have Dunya. Jannah, paradise, where it's just bliss and just pleasure and bliss and peace and tranquility and no kind of no problems, no difficulties, just bliss and peace. And we have hell, fire, or hell, Jahannam, where it's only problems and difficulties and pains and sorrow and sadness. Whereas this world, Dunya, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, He has created it in such a way, the way He has fashioned things in this world, is that it's a combination of both, the bliss, the good, and the bad. It's a combination. You have to go through trials and tribulations, and you also get the good. You get peace and tranquility, and you also go through trials and tribulations. It's a combination of both things. This is this Dunya, combination of both things. Therefore, we as human beings in this world, it cannot be possible that we have no pains or sorrows or sadness at all. It's impossible. And there are no tests. This world is a test in itself. Allah created us in this world and it is a test for us being in this world. So this is what we have to remember, that this world in itself is a world that has trials, tribulations, tests, and you also get peace and tranquility. And this is mentioned many verses, many places in the Quran. We find Allah says, for example, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ, this is a verse of the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will without doubt test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, with a bit of fear. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger. You'll have fear at times. You'll have hunger. You will go through poverty. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. Your decrease of wealth will take place at times. You will struggle financially. And وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ, your life, your body, and the people around you. Sometimes you will lose a parent. You will lose a father, you will lose a mother, you will lose brothers and sisters, your relatives. People will pass away, and yourselves, you'll be inflicted in your own bodies. This is all a test. What is the duty, obligation of a believer, a Muslim, is that Allah says after that, the verse, he says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who have patience. Sabr, patience is part and parcel of a believer's life. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who are inflicted with diseases and illnesses and sicknesses, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily we belong to Allah, and surely we will return to Allah. They don't just say it verbally. The problem today we have is that all these, in times of tests and tribulations, all these statements, we just say them verbally, like the famous one, inshallah. Never, if you don't want to do something, just say inshallah. That's what's happened, inshallah. It has so much meaning in it, inshallah. All these phrases and expressions and terms and statements and all these du'as and supplications that Islam has prescribed, they have deep, deep meanings behind them. But most of the times it's just lip service. First of all, if we don't know Arabic, then we won't know the meaning. And then we don't give attention to it. We should learn these du'as and supplications, and then we should try to understand the meanings and go into the depth of these statements. So this is this world, that it's a combination of both. And everybody goes through trials and tribulations. A human being can never live in this world without having to go through any pains and sorrows. It's impossible. Sometimes we might see somebody, this person, mashallah, he has so much peace and tranquility in his life, and he's got the best of everything. Go and ask him in his private life. He may be going through some sadness and sorrow. You don't know. I related a story once recently, I think was it in Brighton University or somewhere, that there was this person, he wanted to become, you know, he didn't want to have any pains and sorrows and sadness in his life. So he met this pious person and he said to him, look, can you please pray for me, make dua for me that I become, you know, I don't have no pains and sorrows and sadness in my life altogether whatsoever. I just want a life of peace and tranquility, that's it. No pains whatsoever. So the Shaykh said to him, look, you know, that's not going to happen. You've been created, this is dunya. For that to happen, you have to go to paradise. And you have to earn paradise and go to paradise. But here in this world, that's not going to happen. He says, please make dua, please pray to Allah for me. He said, okay, I'll do one thing. Go in your locality community, go and find one person who you think is at the most, you know, has the most peace in his life. He's extremely happy. Go and find somebody and then tell me, pinpoint him out to me, and then I'll make dua that Allah make you like him. Your life is like his life. He said, okay, at least get that done. So he went around and looking around in his community, in his area. And after long research and investigation, looking around here and there, and finally he thought, this person, yeah, this guy here, he has everything, massive mansion and business and children and workers, and he's got wealth and he's in a very high position and status in the community and respect and everything, you name it, all the ni'am, the bounties and gifts that Allah can give to somebody, he had all of them. So he went back to the Shaykh and said, okay, this is the person, I want to be like him. But he said, when he was going to the Shaykh, before he went, he said, let me just go and, first of all, I might just make a mistake, let me just check. You know, let me just go and talk to the brother first of all. So he went to the brother, he said, look, you know, I just wanted to know, you know, your life is, you're very, very good in your life, everything's really good for you, etc. He said, well, you don't know the real true story. He said, why? He said, come in the evening, I'll speak to you, I'll tell you. So he went back to him in the evening to his house, and then he related his whole life story to him, what's happening internally in his private life at home with his family, etc., etc., to the point that this person thought that he is a million times happier than him. So sometimes apparently we might seem to think that somebody is really happy, but we don't know his affair, we don't know his private life. Sometimes somebody is, Allah gives somebody the ni'mah and gift of money, so he has not been given the gift, some other type of gift. So it's a distribution that Allah does in this world. Some get good of this and they don't get the good of the other. So anyway, this world, we go through trials and tribulations. And we should remember that every trial and every test and every exam that we have, there's always ease. And the surah, you know, the famous surah, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, you know, the surah which we recite in prayer, Allah says, and I think you have the translation as well on the poster, Inna ma'al usri yusra, Inna ma'al usri yusra. Allah mentioned it twice. Now in the Arabic language, I don't know if some of you may know Arabic, but in the Arabic language, we have this thing called lam ta'rif. Okay? Lam ta'rif. Or we say ma'rifa or lam ta'rif. Inna ma'al usri yusra. You see, look at the two words. Usra and yusra. The first one, inna ma'al, it's got the lam ta'rif before it. Ma'al meaning al-usr. And then it's not al-yusr, it's just yusra. Second time Allah mentioned again, inna ma'al usr and yusra. Yusr is without the lam ta'rif. What does that mean? That indicates in the Arabic language, when something is repeated and it comes with the lam ta'rif, it's al, then this means that it's the same one. The second time around, the repetition is just repeating the first one. But if it comes without that lam ta'rif, then this means that it's a different form. So which means that in this two verses, Allah says, inna ma'al usr, with one difficulty, you have two ease. With one pain, one difficulty, one trial, one tribulation. Because the second time that is being repeated, it's the same one in the first ayah. Inna ma'al usr. The difficulty that you go through, the test, the examination you go through, it's the same one, but yusr, you have two. And even the number two, it's not really two. It's meaning that this ta'addud, there are many ways and there are many solutions to one problem. Really, in this world, you have many, many, many solutions to one problem. You have one difficulty and literally hundreds of solutions. And based on this verse, there's a hadith where once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came in and the companions were sitting and he was smiling, and then he said, he recited this surah and then he said, لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْنِ لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْنِ. That one difficulty, one problem can never overcome two solutions. Because you have two solutions and it's only one difficulty. لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْنِ. So therefore we have all these different trials and tribulations, and we have tests and we have examinations, and in the context of people going through, you know, they have to. What should we do in this world? When somebody is overcome, a believer, the difference between a believer and a person who's not a Muslim, what Islam encourages a Muslim to do, in other words, is that when he faces a difficult situation, whatever that situation may be, whether it's a test, an examination, whether he wants to seek employment, whether he's going for a job interview, whether he is trying to get some sort of position, status, whatever the situation is, then what should you do? This is the hadith. This is the chapter, this is a book of hadith called Sunan al-Tirmidhi. I'm sure you've heard of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah wa radi anhu, one of the great scholars of hadith, he compiled collections of hadith. We have many collections of hadith, prophetic statements and narrations and traditions, statements and sayings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him. We have many. After the book of Quran, we have all these various collections of hadith. And Islam is a combination of the Quran, the book of Allah, the statement of Allah, the words of Allah, the speech of Allah, our Lord and Creator, and also the statements of the Messenger of God, peace and blessings be upon him. You can't suffice with just one, because it's a combination, both. So we have collections like Sahih al-Bukhari, which is considered to be the most authentic book after the book of Allah. They say, As-sahhu kitabin ba'da kitabillah. And you have many others. This is Sunan al-Tirmidhi. There's a chapter here which says, Babu ma ja'a fi salat al-hajah. Chapter regarding the prayer of need. This is what a Muslim needs to do. If you have a test and you have an examination, this is what, and I'm going to explain this, this is what needs to be done. Any situation, this should be a habit of a Muslim. This should be a trait of a believer. It should be a habit, something he does regularly in his life. Whether something minute, small, or something major. Whatever the situation, a believer, a Muslim, this is what he needs to do. Even small, I mean, some of our predecessors, even like a small decision they needed to make in their life, they would go through this. You know Salatul Hajjah, you must have heard of Salatul Hajjah, the prayer of need. We translate it as the prayer of need. Now this is a hadith. The statement, I'll translate it and explain some very important things in here. There's a companion, Abdullah bin Abi Awfa. He's a companion who narrates, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. He says that the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, مَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ حَاجَةٌ. Whoever has a need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards His Lord and Creator. Any need. You have a test, you have an examination coming up, you have a need. Whatever the need that may, whatever need it may be. مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَوْ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّن بَنِي آدَمٍ. Or even if you have a need that is directed towards a human being. In other words, all our needs is, of course, are directed to Allah. But sometimes they are directly to Allah. Like for example, if you want children, you will make dua like, oh Allah, you know, give me children, or you want, you know, your sins to be forgiven, the need is directly to Allah. But sometimes certain needs are such that they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are to our Lord and Creator God, but through the means of a human being. Like for example, you're going for a test, or you are going for a job interview. So this hadith says, if you have a need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you have a need to Banu Adam, the children of Adam, human beings, fellow human beings, you need your friend to help you. You have a need, you are going to some human being for some sort of assistance and help. What should you do in that case? In both these two situations. Remember, needs ultimately are all directed to Allah, but sometimes the forms are different. Then what should you do? You see, this whole, this few lines of hadith is that a believer, a Muslim, when he has a need, then his first point of call is his Lord and Creator. We forget, today we take all the other means, all the means of the world. But one very important means we forget, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Islam teaches us. Whatever the situation, our first port of call is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We return to Allah, we turn our attention to our Lord and our Creator. This is what's being, the message that is being given in this hadith. That our reliance is on God. That does not mean we don't take the means, and I will talk about that. But our reliance is on God, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost, our reliance is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why this whole, you perform salah and all the rest that's coming. If for example, somebody's going for a job interview, what happens today? I don't know if somebody's been for a job interview. You go for a person, unfortunately, Muslims as well, goes for a job interview, he'll go take all the necessary, he'll make sure that the form is filled in really well. You go to somebody who's involved in that industry, you know, can you explain to me how do you fill in this form? And you take all the other means and make sure you type it out, you know, like you don't want to just write it with a pen, you want to make sure that you give a nice presentation of yourself. You also go into the internet and check all those tips for an interview. Well, what are the, you know, tips that you will be accepted? And you will dress well, and you'll go and you'll say, oh, you need to smile this way, you need to smile that way, and if they, you know, if they ask you this question, then you must respond with this answer. All the means. But one thing we forget, do we take 5-10 minutes out and pray to Allah first? That, oh Allah, I'm going for this job interview, please make it a success. If it's good in it, then make it a success for me. And accept me, and make it easy for me, and give me that position, and give me that job. But unfortunately, we don't turn to Allah. We take all the other asbab, we take all the other means. We're doing a degree or whatever. All the means that are in this world, we take them, but we forget the most important duty and responsibility. Why do we forget? Because our aqidah, our belief in Allah has become extremely weak. We should always remember, ultimately everything is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately everything is in the power of Allah. You go to the doctor, we can go to a doctor, somebody's ill and sick, we'll go to the best doctor, we'll pay for the, you know, an extortionate amount for an operation. We go to this hospital, the private hospital, there, here, we go for, you know, abroad to another country for whatever, you know, sometimes for herbal medicine or this medicine or that medicine. But we don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should remember that cure is in the hands of Allah. If Allah wants to cure us, we don't even need these medicines or this medication. It's through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually it's a point of aqidah. This trust and this belief we must have in Allah. And those people who do, really, they see miracles in their lives. Because we are very far. We never turn to Allah, so we don't. We think, oh, what's all this talking about Allah? Because we, in front of us, we just have this physical, material world in front of us. We don't see the spiritual side of it. And that's really... If we the more distant we become, we will never see, we won't see the effect. But those people who are always, their trust, their reliance, their belief is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they see the benefits, they see it in their lives. And we see this in many, many cases. And that's why, so wherever the situation is, whether it's for employment, whether it's somebody's ill, somebody's sick, what we need to do is we need to first turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Him. But at the same time, that does not mean that we leave all the means. Sometimes some people go to the other extreme. You know what, I'm just going to sit in my house, okay. Allah, give me food, you know, the ceiling will split open and things will start dropping from your ceiling in your house. Somebody will post something from your letterbox. Allah, I want a banana, you get a letterbox, you know, banana. It's not going to happen like that. That's not how we are supposed to do things. We are supposed to take the means. There is nothing wrong in taking medication. We go to the doctor. We go and ask for medication. The doctor prescribes us medicine. But then after that, we believe, and we should be fully convinced, and we believe in that the effect in this medicine is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, because it happens sometimes somebody is, two people, they have the same illness, you have the same medication, one is cured, the other one's not cured. Why? It's because in the hands of Allah. If Allah wants to cure, then He'll put cure and remedy in that medicine. If He doesn't want to, then He won't. Sometimes you get cured without a medicine. So it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take the means, asbab, what we call asbab. In the Arabic language, asbab, it's a plural of sabab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered to be musabbibul asbab, the one who is behind all these means and causes in this world. So we take the means, but our trust and our reliance is in the maker of the means. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's in the same Sunnah al-Tirmidhi, there's another hadith elsewhere. He used to, in his life, what he used to do, and he used to teach his companions, what he used to do, he used to take the means, he used to say to them, take the means, and then he used to say, he used to make this dua, Allahumma hadha al-juhdu wa alayka tuklan. That's the dua. Allahumma hadha al-juhdu wa alayka tuklan. Oh Allah, this is my effort. I've put in the effort, I've struggled. Juhd. See the word juhd in the Arabic language. The word juhd, it's a very comprehensive word. Mujahada, striving, struggle. That's why tahajjud. You know in when you perform salat at tahajjud, why it's called tahajjud? Because there's struggle. You wake up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock. You struggle. So, Allahumma hadha juhd. This is a juhd. This is a struggle. I've put in the effort. But ultimately, wa alayka tuklan. On you I rely. Tuklan is from the word tawakkul. Trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I've put in the effort. Now I only ask you. That's why the hadith says that once the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he met a companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was a child, just to teach him a lesson from a young age. He held him and he said, Ya ghulam, O my son. And then he said a few things, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظِكَ اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. And then he said to him, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you ask, only ask from Allah. When you seek assistance, only seek it from Allah. And that's why we recite every time in our prayer, what do we say? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's again, once again, it's lip service. We read it millions of times in our lives. If we do pray salah, that is. But inshallah, everybody will be performing salah. Every time, every day, so many times, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Dallin, Ameen, finish. Sometimes it happens. We should be reading slowly, with khushu', khudu', with full devotion, with full devotion. Every single verse of the surah, it has oceans of meanings in them. Just this word, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is only you whom we worship, O Allah. It is only you from whom we seek help and assistance. So he said in this hadith, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِينَ بِاللَّهِ وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ. And then he said after that, وَعْلَمْ, know, O my son. He's just giving him this message. وَعْلَمْ, know. أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك بشيء إلا ما قد كتبه الله لك. If all the nations, everybody, every single human being, male, female, jinn, you know what jinns are, yeah? male human beings, jinns, ins, in another riwayah, wal ins wal jinn. Everybody united and gathered and collectively. Everybody wanted to give you some sort of help. They will not able to help you except that which Allah has already written for you. وَعْلَمْ. And then he said, also know, أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If all of them united and gathered, every single person, you know, they just conspired against you, and they intended to inflict some harm upon you, they will not able to inflict any harm upon you except that which Allah has written against you. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. Pens have been lifted and pages have become dry. But that's another hadith. But here again, just to mention this, that our, you know, attention should be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take the means. Taking the means is not just that it's something we permissible, rather we are ordered and commanded. It's wrong, Islamically it is unlawful and sinful for us not to take the means. Somebody not to take the means is wrong as well, because we have been ordered and commanded, we should take the means. But after taking the means, we should keep our trust and reliance in Allah. We take the means, we study well, we do whatever we need to do. But then ultimately, it's in the hands of Allah. We make dua to Allah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in the olden times when the doctors, and this, because this is what we've become very distant from Islam. In the olden times, even the doctors used to be very pious, practicing spiritual Muslims. When they used to, even sometimes now, you know, when they used to prescribe a medicine, they used to write at the top, Huwa Shafi. You know, when you prescribe, they write at the top, this write first the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. And then, Huwa Shafi. It is only Allah who cures. This prescription and this medication, it's a means, but it's, we don't know. It's in the hands of Allah. Really, they used to write that. Do people do that now? Very rarely. Probably some people. Probably some of the medics here, inshallah, after this. We'll, I don't know if there are some medics here. At least if you can't do it, then at least if you can't write it, then at least verbally, in the name of Allah, Allah gives shifa. Because it's in the hands of Allah. We take the means. We take a paracetamol, but we should remember that there is in itself, in of itself, this paracetamol has nothing. It's only the effect that Allah puts in the paracetamol. We have to drill this, you know, just get this into our minds. And once we start having this in our life, we will see the actual difference. You see, you know, I'll give you one story. You heard of Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu. The great companion, Saifullah, is given the title, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. One of the great companions. He passed away in Syria, because he moved away and then he was in the battles there. His grave today is in a place called Hims. You see, you have Damascus, then you have Hims, and then you have Halab. Hims, and in English they say Homs or something like that. H-O-M-S. Anybody been to Syria? No? Okay. Anybody from Syria? No? Okay. So this Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu, once with his group, it was a battle with his army, they went and they surrounded a fortress or a fort or some area where the enemies were. So for quite a few days the enemies were inside. So they became frustrated. So they said, you know what, let's just go and do sulh. Let's just sign a peace treaty. And one of them was appointed to come out and go and talk to the Muslims and talk to Khalid bin al-Walid and say, let's sign a peace treaty and let's just have peace. We don't want to fight. So that's fine. I mean, if there's peace treaty, they'll do peace treaty. So he came outside. But when he came, Khalid bin al-Walid saw that he had in his hands a bottle with some kind of liquid in it. A bottle with some kind of liquid in it. So, first of all, when he came, he greeted him and he said, what's this bottle? He said, there's some liquid. So what's the liquid? It's poison. So why do you have poison with you? He said, well, you know what I've decided? That if I come here, if there's peace treaty, then alhamdulillah, great, and we'll all be free and we'll go. And if we don't agree on some kind of agreement, no treaty, then it's not worth living, because can't take the life inside, and my fellow, you know, friends, and they will probably kill me anyway, so I'm just going to drink this poison. Now remember, the Muslims, the Sahaba, this is what they had. They would never let an opportunity pass by where they give da'wah. This is something we need to learn from their lives. Khalid bin al-Walid, this opportunity which he had in front of giving da'wah, he said, okay, let me use this opportunity. He said, why do you have so much trust in this poison for? He said, because this poison, it's tested. It's a tested poison. It's one of the most lethal type of poison. Nobody ever has remained alive by drinking. Even just a few drops go into your mouth and that's it. The person is dead on the spot. He doesn't even live for a few minutes or few hours. He said, you have too much reliance, trust in this. You should have trust in God. It's in the hands of God. He said, no, this I'm telling you, this is a very, very, very strong and powerful kind of poison. He said, give it to me, I'll drink it. He said, what are you doing? Don't drink it. There's nobody ever in this world has survived to tell the taste of this poison. Because he doesn't even have that much time to tell you how it tasted, because he died straight away. Nobody. So, what are you doing with this poison? He said, don't worry. And then Khalid bin Walid said, look, I trust in Allah. He took the poison from him, a whole bottle of poison. This is not a made up story, yeah? It's not fiction. This is something that's fact. And it's documented, and it's in the books, and it's been narrated, related. I mean, this is Khalid bin Walid, after the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, he took the poison, and he read. There's a dua. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. In the name of Allah, with his name, nothing harms. La yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama', neither in the world, heavens or in the earth. And he said that, and he made dua that, oh Allah, please, you know, don't inflict me with this poison, whatever. And he took, gulped it down. He says, fine, nothing's wrong. And the guy had a shock of his life. There's nothing wrong whatsoever. He drank the whole bottle of poison, and after that, that person on the spot became a Muslim. Now these are miracles that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. It's not gonna. Don't try that, by the way. You might say, okay, Bismillah, la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama', and then you know that's it. Drink whatever you want. No, we need to get to that level. If you get to that level of yaqeen and tawakkul and trust and reliance in Allah, and if we are in that status and that, you know, state and position and that rank, then yes. So sometimes Allah shows this, and this is because of his status, that he had extreme reliance and tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people have that. The famous incident of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know that famous incident, a lot of times you must have heard or read about it, when he was just resting under a tree, and you know, somebody came and he said, مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي. He took his sword and said, مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي. Who's going to save you from me? Now, apparently it would seem that this person, I mean, nobody would save the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had his reliance and trust in Allah. He said the word Allah. When he said Allah, the person, he shivered and you know, the sword fell down onto the ground, and then he picked it up and then said, who's going to save you from me now? So this is how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. This is how the companions were. Their trust and reliance was in Allah. They took the means. We must take the means. We must study. You don't just say, okay, that's it. Close all the books, finish, and that's it. I'm going to do this, and what's mentioned in the hadith, and then I'm not going to do nothing, and I'm definitely going to pass. No, that's not how it works in this world. We have to take the means. We must take the asbab. But at the same time, our trust, our reliance is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's one incident where a companion came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, and he said to him that, you know what, sometimes I go into the jungle and I have my camel with me. Now I need to perform and offer salah, I need to offer prayers. So what should I do? You know, should I tie it up or should I just leave it? Because I have reliance and trust in Allah, I'll just leave my camel and Allahu Akbar, you know, it'll stay there. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. He said, اِعْقِلْ سَاقَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. Tie the camel up first and then have tawakkul, then have trust and reliance in Allah. So we take the means as well as then having trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back to this, مَنْ كَانَتَ لَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ حَاجَةٌ. Whoever has a need, whatever that need may be in this world, towards Allah or إِلَى أَحَدٍ مِّن بَنِي آدَمٍ, or there's a need from a fellow human being, you need that fellow human being to help you and assist you, then what should he do? And this is what we all need to do throughout our lives. فَلْيَتَوَضَّأ. Number one, he should perform wudu, ablution. And not just an ablution that we do. I mean, we just like straight away, finish quick, few seconds. وَلْيُحْسِنِ الْوُضُوءَ He must perfect and make his ablution properly in a correct and the most complete of manners. وَلْيُحْسِنِ The word husn. Make his, perform the ablution in a complete and a beautiful manner. Making the right intention, washing all the organs of the body properly, thoroughly, as they, without wasting water of course, as they ought to be washed, reciting the du'as, making the intention, starting in the beginning of the name of Allah, and facing in the, you know, the proper way, sunnah method of doing wudu. Especially if it's a specific need, then we should give more importance to this. You have an exam tomorrow, do this. If in the morning somebody has an exam, in the evening, this should be done. The hadith says, وَلْيُحْسِنِ الْوُضُوءَ He should perfect his wudu, make a complete wudu, facing the direction, all the etiquettes, and all the adab, and all the sunan, and all the mustahabbat, the recommended acts that are connected to wudu, they should all be practiced, and performed, and carried out. And then dua as well, like at the end of the wudu, you make a dua, اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. That's a dua which is recited at the end of the wudu. And there are certain others that are during wudu, but they're not that authentically established. وَلْيُحْسِنِ الْوُضُوء You make your wudu properly. And then, ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْنِ Then he should offer two rak'at of prayer. Two rak'at. It's like any other prayer. It's not a salatul hajj. The prayer of need is not some specific type of prayer. It's just a normal prayer. Two rak'ah, whatever, the way you perform any other prayer. Suratul Fatiha and one surah. Second rak'ah, you read Suratul Fatiha and you recite any other surah of the Quran. It's no surahs are fixed. It's like any other surah. Sometimes some people, out of their personal experience, have stated certain surahs should be recited because they felt those surahs and chapters of the Quran to be quiet, beneficial and fruitful. So that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that as well. But the hadith just says, just normal two rak'ah, there's nothing fixed. Like for example, some scholars, and this is based on personal experience, we're not saying it's sunnah that it's mentioned in the hadith, but there's nothing wrong in saying that, okay, I'll recite this surah as well. Like for example, some of them said, it's good to recite surah Al-Nashrah in the first rak'ah. Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Because of that verse. And the second rak'ah, you have the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدَ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا Reason being, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ When the help of Allah comes. So based on that, or any other verse of the Quran, you understand the Quran, read verses that relate to victory or whatever. But nothing's necessary. Nothing specific from the Quran is necessary. You offer two rakats of prayer. ثُمَّ الْيُثْنِي عَلَى اللَّهِ Then you, after you finish your prayer, you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You finish your prayer. Then you start your dua. You raise your hands. You supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starting and beginning with praising Allah. And we always do that. In our life, everything is with the praise of Allah. We started this lecture, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah Ahmaduhu Ta'ala. You know, it's just always, dua is always, you praise Allah. Reason being is, anything you want to do in this world, you praise Allah. First of all, we are asking Allah Subhanahu, I mean, the scholars mentioned two reasons, when especially, specifically for dua, why you praise Allah. Reason number one is that at this time when we are making dua and we are supplicating and we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, normally in this world as well, when you go to ask your need from somebody, what do? You say, hey, mashallah, you're a very good person. Not that Allah needs that, you know, but normally in our world, you're this, you're good, you're this, you're like that, there's nobody like you in the world, and you're just subhanAllah, you're such a generous person, and then you really boosted him up, and then say, you know what, can you give me £10? People do that in this world. So, I mean, this is not the way it should be done. I mean, you praise somebody, you say good qualities, you mention the good qualities. We are asking Allah, so we appreciate and we acknowledge the good qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We acknowledge the good qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another reason, which is a more important reason, is that Even though we have a specific need, but we are praising Allah for all the other many hundreds and thousands of other good gifts and bounties He has given us. This is only one trial. You know, if somebody is in distress, difficulty, like one, there was one shaykh, he was extremely in fever, real fever on his bed, and he was really ill, and he was really sick, and he had fever, etc. And some people came to meet him. So he said to him, "How are you?" He said, "Alhamdulillah, wonderful, absolutely wonderful. My eyes, brilliant, I can see. My ears, they're working fine. You know, I can see perfectly, I can hear perfectly, I can eat perfectly, I can go to the toilet, you know, it's perfect, digestive system, there's nothing wrong. I have hundreds of gifts, a beautiful house, I've got a nice soft bed here." He was literally really, really ill and sick. He said, "Yeah, there's one thing, I've got a lot of fever, and I pray to Allah that even this, Allah change it into a good gift for me, a ni'mah, and remove this calamity from me." So one difficulty in life, we think of hundreds of thousands of good things we have in the world. That's what we forget in this time. We become so weak that one distress, one problem, one difficulty in life, and that's it. We lose all control. "Oh no, I can't, it's too much stress and too much stress on me, and I'm going to be depressed and I can't take this anymore, and this and that and the other." And I mean, don't we think that there's millions of other things that Allah has gifted us and given us? And we should always think of those people who are far worse off than us. You know, we go through stress, but there are people who have barely something to eat. Look at Africa. Look at the pictures that come on the news where, you know, the skeletons, there's bones, small children. So, this is why we make du'a. We praise Allah. That, "Oh Allah, I need you for this need. I want you to help and assist me for this need. But there are many other gifts and bounties and good things that you have given me, and hence I am praising you." So you praise Allah. Then after that, وَلْيُصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. You send blessings on the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is always the case. I mean, that it's a topic in itself. Sending blessings on the Messenger of Allah should be part and parcel of a Muslim's life, a believer's life. He must daily. And especially with dua, there's one riwayah, one hadith where it's been mentioned that a dua in which there's, you know, the peace and blessings is sent, salawat is recited on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that dua is never rejected. One hadith states that the dua is actually, it's stuck until you mention the name of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you send blessings on him. So, when you salli ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you, after the two rak'ah, and then you praise Allah, send blessings on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma al-yaqul, and then you say, what do you say? This is the dua. La ilaha illallah al-Halim al-Kareem. La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. Al-Halim al-Kareem. These are the two attributes. Allah has many attributes. Many, many names and many attributes. In Allah has names, Asma'ul Husna, good names. But at the same time, He has attributes as well, sifat. Inna lillahi tis'an wa tis'ina isman. Allah has 99 names. من حفظها دخل الجنة. The one who memorizes them, but not just lip service again, memorizing them, actually, you know, comprehends them, then he will enter paradise. So here two qualities and two attributes of Allah have been mentioned. There is no God but Allah, the one who is Kareem, generous, Halim, Hilm. To have, what's a good translation for Halim, anybody? Sorry? Forbearance, that's right, yeah. Forbearance, Hilm. And Allah has karam as well, generosity. He is kareem and haleem. So we mention these two great qualities of Allah, that despite my situation, I'm a real bad person, I've done many sins, and many, many sins have been committed by me, and I'm not a good person, and I've done all the bad things in the world. I'm not even deserving of your help and assistance. But despite that, O Allah, you are kareem and you are haleem. You have the quality of forbearance and you have the quality of generosity. Despite me being such an evil, wicked person. The wicked not in the slang sense, yeah? The wicked in the evil sense. So, being such an evil person, still I want your help. La ilaha illallah al-Halim al-Kareem. Then you say, Subhanallah Rabbil Arshil Azim. You praise Allah, the tasbih of Allah, who is the Lord of Arsh al-Azim. This Azim means the great Lord, is connected to the word Rabb. And then you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. أَسْأَلُكَ مُجِبَاتِ رَحْمَتِكَ. Oh Allah, I am asking you the means of your rahmah, your mercy. All the various forms of your mercy, I am asking you of them. وَعَزَائِمَ مَغْفِرَتِكَ. And I am asking your forgiveness. Meaning those things that give us your forgiveness. وَالْغَنِيمَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ بِرْ. And I want shares and parts of every good. وَالسَّلَامَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ إِثْمْ. And I want to be safeguarded and protected from any sin. And then you carry on with the dua, لَا تَدَعْ لِي ذَمَّا إِلَّا غَفَرْتَ. Do not leave any sin except that you forgive it for me. وَلَا هَمَّا إِلَّا فَرَّجْتَ. And do not leave any kind of sorrow and sadness. Hamman or gham, same thing. Any sadness or sorrow or pain or grief I have in my life, illa farrajtahu, except that you remove it from me. And you open the doors for me. You make it easy for me. And then, wala hajatani hiya laka ridan illa qadaytaha ya arhamar rahimin. And I don't have any need in which there is your pleasure, except that you fulfill this need of mine, O most merciful of the merciful, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. So this is a dua. And this is a hadith recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunnah. And that's what a Muslim needs to do. If you don't have that much time, then just recite this dua. If you don't have time to, you know, if it's something that you just need to, you know, you just have like a couple of minutes, then you can't recite, perform the whole prayer, then just read this dua. This is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. You can find a translation. The Arabic is there. Memorize it, read it, and inshallah, may Allah make it easy for everybody. All the, you know, trials and tribulations we go through, individually as well as collectively. The whole Muslim Ummah, we're going through collective trials and tribulations. So may Allah make it easy on the Muslim Ummah as well, and you know, make it easy for all of us in this world and in the hereafter. And I don't know how much time we have, but I will end here.